We are on chapter 9, and it's the Ernest Holmes ideas of power. And I am always very amused with Ernest. He's a funny guy. Ernest, little Ernie, he calls himself sometimes. A very, very funny guy. And so chapter 9 is about how to help yourself and others. It's incorporated also with how to make yourself and others happy. But once I got to chapter 9, chapter 10 was almost a repeat in terms of some of the concepts. So I sort of pulled everything together. So Ernest Holmes literally talks about, he does a lot of Christian. He goes back into Christianity. He says we are Christians, but we are Christians without a dogma. We are Christians without any kind of concepts. We are just Christians because we believe in God. And we believe that Jesus was a way shower. And so if Jesus was a way shower and he was so crystal clear about his beliefs that we need to be in as well, he said, he sort of adopted Jesus as, like a good Christian figure. However, it's all God, and he made sure that he was able to share that with his congregation. So part of Ernest's presentation on how to help yourself and others had to do with demonstration. Mm-hmm. Ernest said that our works rest on demonstration. He said we have to put up or shut up. Mm-hmm. That little guy, right? And so put up or shut up means that, stand behind your words. Having a demonstration means that, okay, what do we truly believe in? And if we do believe in it, well, show up, let's see. Mm-hmm. And really, this, it hit me like a little rock. It hit me differently than all other times I was preparing for a talk, because he was so frank. He was very honest. And he talked about, when he said put up or shut up, he literally reminded me that it's truly a science. We call it Science of Mind now. We have a nice little dedicated name, Centers for Spiritual Living. But when Ernest Holmes said Science of Mind, it was 1 + 1 = 2. It was very, very clear, very clear cut. And demonstrations, we call them miracles. But miracles meant that two things had to happen in order to get an outcome, or a certain amount of stuff would to happen. And so that's the scientific part of it, which he brought it right back to me this time. Mm-hmm. And so put up or shut up was like, okay, Gail, come on, you gotta, you've been in this a long time, and I'm not blaming myself, I'm not belittling myself, but I was happy to get more out of, or maybe a reminder, I should say. Going back to school and going over the little concepts again, sometimes it puts you in a better place. Mm-hmm. All right? So, he said, somebody said three things must be done when you're making a speech. He said you have to stand up, you have to speak up, and you have to shut up. He said you have to know when to shut up. So with that, I'm going to keep going. 11:27. All right. So I made my little notes, because I put them all on a paper, but that's too hard. So I came back and I just did. So our work rests on demonstration. We have to, as I just said, put up or shut up. A big part of this his talk really focused on what we believe as the science of mind philosophy. And so I was able to print a couple of what I believe poems for sheets for us. It's not the best, but as we go along, you could kind of look at some of them. You could pass it up. So, so he talked about what we believe, and so the only one of the I'll take one back. I'll take the one below. You have like three or four. Okay. Thank you. All right. So what we believe, and so Ernest Holmes, prior to writing this book, he said he wrote What We Believe about 30 years prior. So this man has been infused with real true spirituality, and we'll talk about what spirituality is. So we believe in God, the living spirit, almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. And so the only God you will ever know is the God, he said, that you discover within your own self. Mm-hmm. All right? So although we are not the whole of God, yet we are still God in essence. Every part of us is a part of the whole. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little convoluted. Ernie said, you know, don't get pompous and think that you're God. Mm-hmm. But still he came back and said, you know, we are the sum of, you know, what God is. All right? Some of the parts. And so from page 147, he said, the only God you will ever know, you will discover within yourself. And he went on, that doesn't mean that you are God. God is what I am, but I am not God, thank God. This is one of his little stuff, right? But he said, but what am I made of? I'm made of what God is. He's all over, in all, and through all. And then he went on to talk about God is divine presence inhabiting all of eternity and indwelling within our own hearts. Mm-hmm. Then he said, there is something about you and me that is cosmic, universally cosmic. It stretches over time and space. And so that brings me back. He couldn't be talking about me, but yes, he's talking about me. Mm-hmm. I have been there universally. I have always been there, stretched over time. This is God. Reminds me of Emerson and his, you know, Lane, what's the word?
Smiling repose.
Yes, Lane in smiling repose. So looking back or even looking forward, I am there. So he said that you know, I'm stretched over time. You know, you don't have to be conceited or get big-headed to say, God made me and God cannot make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come back to this because this is one of the things about making yourself happy. Because if mm-hmm. you're going to be happy, I have to be able to say, well, I am God. And he gives us a little bit of reprieve to do a little bit of doubting within ourselves. And, you know, because faith comes by hearing and hearing all the stuff that we have to put together. But then he says, once you get the concept of what we believe, that there is one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause, and this one manifests itself in and through an all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. So it just means that God is everywhere present. And I truly have to accept that this is it. This is me as God manifesting in my fullest expression. And we shouldn't be embarrassed to say, I know I always try to dress it up and say, you know, kind of minimize the idea that you're God. But truly, if we go back to our concept of what we believe, that God is total and indestructible and absolute and always existing, then who am I? Mm-hmm. I'm here. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I'm here, guess what? I'm existing. I'm indestructible. I was there years and years ago, and I'm still there in the future. So I am embracing my Godness in a bigger, better, and newer way today, because it does mean nothing to disown my true heritage. So so he also went on to say, Jesus understood this, and this is why he talked about Jesus a lot, because Jesus knew that God made me, and God cannot make mistakes. No matter what it looks like, God did not make a mistake when he made me. He didn't. God cannot err. Mm-hmm. The universe is never defamed. The laws of God can never be broken. So he said, Jesus understand this. This great claim that his soul made on God was that God is what I am, where I am, as I am, right here and right now. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. I can reach out and touch your hand, right?
Yeah.
God, right? Yeah.
Bring it on.
All right. So let's kind of put the little bit of doubts that we have, that we, and I'm looking at you, but it's not about you. Of course, it's me. I'm talking all about me right now. How do I know you have doubts unless I have doubts, right? So let's put the doubts that, even the little bits of doubts that we have, that we are not it, or we don't deserve it, or we can never be it, into something a little bit more sturdy, that we really, truly God expressing. And the God that is expressing is all powerful, is all present, is all existing. All right? So the other part, part of it, page 147, which I just read. So God did not make a mistake when he made me. So he went on to talk about God being love. And that's why I talked about the infinity, you know, love, our life as the infinite life. So in terms of love, love is the lodestone, and this is where I'm quoting, the lodestone of life. Love is the only emotional security that is known to the mind of man. Love is the basis of everything, the divine givenness. There is no security without it. We believe we are surrounded by love. Now, we also believe we are surrounded by a law. This is the next important thing, love and law. And it is what the law is, what we call mind in action, something that acts upon our thinking creatively, imaginatively. Like Lavanya was saying, I pretended. Well, guess what? Pretend is a big deal, because pretend means I'm so creative. And she's using mind in action in order to see her world the way she wants it. And usually you pretend to make something better, not to bring anything less on you. So this child, she got it. She got it. She has it. Right? So we are always creating, and as we know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So let's start thinking potency. Let's start thinking powerful stuff. Let's start putting our dreams out there, but not leaving our dreams to hang and hope for an outside cause. Let's go for it. Let's put our dreams there and know that this is why my dream is out there, is because it started in my thoughts. It started in my heart. It was a strong desire. That strong desire is God. Mm-hmm. That strong desire is God expressing as an idea, as a thought, as a dream, as a goal, as a plan for our lives. And when we feel good about these desires, it's even more a confirmation that, hey, this is the route I should take. This is where I need to go. So we are surrounded by this creative principle constantly. So it's love, which is the love existing everywhere, and the law of God, which is the creative aspect of us, the creative part of the universe. Love and law. Right? So how do we help each other? So Ernest Holmes talked a little bit about helping each other. So I did a lot of underline where we talked more about power and presence. Power and presence is also the law and love. Love and law. The both are intertwining. So he talked about helping each other, which is, of course, how to help yourself and others, the name of the topic. So one of the things he talked about in terms of helping each other is about treating. And do you know what treating is? So treating or treatment is affirmative prayer. Mm-hmm. You know it. You just know it in a different maybe example. But to do a treatment is to have to pray affirmatively. Affirmative prayer would mean that I'm not praying from a space of need or want. I'm not praying to an outside being. I am not praying from
intercessory prayer.
Yes, we're not asking. Yes, thank you, Connie.
Declaring.
Yes. Okay. And we can declare only because we've come from a space of, well, if I am existing and God is everywhere present, and there is a place, there is no place where God is not, then I am part of that God presence. If I truly believe that for everything else, if I truly believe it for the world around me, the environment around me, I have to believe it for myself. Because he talks about us, you know, being able to plant and interact with our environment, interact with animals, interact with trees and herbs and all that stuff. And yet, those don't worry about how they would bloom and grow. We are the ones that worry, you know? Mm-hmm. We would plant something into the ground and walk away, and then the next thing you see is beautiful blooming and fruits and all that stuff. Well, how did that happen? Where did their power come from? Right? Mm-hmm. We are the same. We're obviously different composition of a higher mind and probably brain activity, if we have to kind of put them on a side-to-side basis. Of course, the plants don't have brains, but we have to think, what happens to them once they're in the ground and they're open to the creative force or the gravitational force and all that stuff? So we have to be the same. This is my way of explaining it. If I am putting my brilliance out there, which is my dream, my thought, my goals for my life, then I have to know that that brilliance came from somewhere. that brilliance originated as God. Mm-hmm. God in me as my thoughts. And then I put it out there, but because I have so much will and volition, I go back and I keep messing with it, and I keep, you know? It's like, if you look at the plant, if the plant would be like, you know, I don't like this particular dirt I'm in, let me see if I could you know? Let me find a different earth to put myself, maybe the earth across there. And so it kind of weeds itself out and have the wind blow it to another place, and it you know, re-implants itself. And I personally think that's what I do. We do that a lot by not trusting our imbued power, imbued spirituality, knowing that if God is all-powerful and God does everything and God really enlivens this universe and makes things happen, then I must be part of that. And I am claiming that today. So I kind of went a little bit further out. Ernest Holmes talked about, you know, he said, when we help each other, the only way we can do that is to treat for them, is to know that either you affirm what they want in their lives or you deny what they want in their lives. So personally, I like doing more affirmation rather than denial, because denial sort of put me into another of a negative place that, you know, that can happen and I'm making a decision for another person. I would prefer to affirm what I'm thinking that I need to deny. So, for example, if I want to see health and strength for a person, I wouldn't deny that the person has pneumonia, right? I would affirm that this person comes out of this distressing situation alive and free and, you know, and ready and eager to move forward with life, as opposed to, you know, saying, I deny that pneumonia, I deny that this person is going to stay where they are, you know. So to me, it doesn't feel very good for the denial, but it affirms if I want to see a person in a certain place or category or experience, I want to embrace that for them. All right. So he spoke about the gravitational force, and I didn't write down the the page. However, let's just read this. Now, we are bringing this stuff right down to something we can consciously practice, and this is about treating, okay? To practice and use to help ourselves and others. You can do this as well. And Ernest encourages us to, you know, he was not the main person who can pray and heal and help others and make things easy. You know, he had a true consciousness of, oh my goodness, I can get this done. And so things happened very easily for him. But he also is saying that what he has, we have just as well. And so he encourages us to do our own prayers, to do our own treatment. All right? He said anyone can do it. We are surrounded by a creative intelligence that operates upon our thought, always acting to bring into our experience that which is like our own thinking. This is what we call treat. Now, what do you mean by treat? We mean that we think something, say something, articulate something affirmatively by accepting that it is now accomplished, and identify what we say with others and ourselves as this. Okay, let's read this. I'm sorry. We mean that we think something, say something, articulate something affirmatively by accepting that it is now accomplished, and identify what we say with ourselves or with some person, place, or thing. So that's the affirmative part. And so he talked about, you know, that we are one with God. So one and God, we are a majority, and we can do whatever our minds, our hearts, our dreams, our goals want to desire. So he says, he talked about, he actually had a quote where he talked about, you know, moving the salt shaker from one side of the table. He was just trying to say, for anything to happen, we have to do the foundational work. And the foundational work is, and he was talking about the salt shaker, moving it from one part of the table to another part of the table. And just to show that our thought was, okay, I want to move the shaker from here and put it there. And the fact that we would interject and take it up and move it to another side is already our thought saying, if we pick it up from this direction and put it here, then it's as simple as that. It's as simple as the salt shaker is not going to happen. It's not going to happen for itself. It's going to happen if I put my thoughts, my intervene into it. All right. So Ernest is saying that with our consciousness, with knowing that we are truly one with God, and knowing that God is personal and indwelling to all of us, that we have already made the move to accept and to put our thoughts where they need to be. So it's our thoughts that literally doing the transference, as opposed to actions or anything like that. All right? Then he talked about, well, I told you about the rosebud. He asked us to, we talked about that. So he also mentions that we are the ones that we are looking for. So now we are going to have to know this one thing. Because otherwise we will always be looking for saints and saviors over there, and we would be rushing from one place to the other. So this is really important. Knowing that we are God expressing, knowing that God is here right now as me, as you, and knowing that there is no place where God is not, then there really is no place where we can find God outside as a saint, as a pastor, as the great helper. Even in Jesus' category, it's, you know, we have the same God capabilities, the same. Hopefully we can grow to the high level of consciousness that Jesus was, or Ernest Holmes was, but we have everything within us. And so he was able to tell us, once we get quiet, once we get still, and lessen the turmoil around us, that we are truly the ones we are looking for. So that the help is not out there. Yes, we have people who we can help. We can give and treat for others. We can know for others. However, once we get still and we really know, you are the one you have been looking for. You are going to have to do it, because before you can make a good treatment, you have to be strong in that sense of value, that I can. This is me, this is God, truly expressing. And here I am to help you, to support you, to affirm for you, to lift you up, to be a prayer partner for you, wherever, however you want to put it like that. All right? So we either believe in our own word or else we don't. is like speak up and shut up or shut up, right? Really, you know, because if we don't claim who we are, then who will? Right? Mm-hmm. We're going to always be going to saints and saviors outside of us when we truly have it within us, all right? And then Ernest sort of spoke about us being gardeners, and he said that once we help someone in prayer, once we treat affirmatively for someone, then we gotta let it go. And the reason we are letting it go is because he wants us, and we should also know that treatment is independent of us once we let it go. So remember, we are parts of the whole full sum that is God. And there are some things that we can do within our own, what do you call that? Confines. That's not the really word I want to use. Within our own consciousness. Thank you. So we can do things within our own consciousness. However, there are other people who can know so much more for us as well. And so hoping that as we grow, as we read, as we understand more, that our consciousness expands. All right. So part of what Ernest is saying is that let me just read this. Now, another thing I wanted to be sure and mention to you is a treatment must be independent of the person who gives it. This is important. When I go out and plant a garden, I walk away and leave it. And I know something is going to make it grow. Its growth, which is the law of its being, is that which is going to react to it outside in the universe. Okay, so it's kind of a... Its growth, the law of its being, is going to make it grow. The law of its being, that which is going to react to it out of the universe now, is the independent... It doesn't make sense, but I sort of grasped it at the time when I read it. So, in other words, he said, I was the gardener only. So, my responsibility to that plant was to take it, put it in the ground, make sure that it has some sunlight, and maybe even some, extra plant food or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then, that's where my responsibility finishes as well. Except for the every once in a while coming back to water it, which is still within my responsibility. But he says that I was the gardener only. We speak of making a garden. We plant, we nurture, but God gives the increase. So although we are this big a God within our own selves, we still have a bigger God, which is the sum of everything that does the creation, which is the law. All right, so we are love, but there is also law. And law causes that gravitational pull. Law allows the sun to interact with the leaves and the chlorophyll and all that good stuff. Those are things outside of our control. But the things that are within our control, we give. We are there as the gardener. We are there as the nurturer for each person. All right? And in closing, helping others is knowing when to treat and when to walk away. So sometimes we would help, and then every couple of days, it's good to care because every couple of days is checking in for how things are going. But every couple of days is not, okay, well then, something's wrong. I need to do this, I need to do that. Because that is actually saying that I'm taking responsibility for what happens once I've put my treatment down. All right? So helping others is knowing when to treat and walk away. And a treatment must be treatment must be independent of the person who gives it, which I just mentioned. So and I just read that to you. So now this is necessary to know as well. He said a lot of things that was necessary. Because we get so all tied up and get our big feet and our little egos in the way. Because we think that we have responsibility to make it happen in somebody else's life. So let me tell you, the person who uses this principle the most effectively is the one who is the most deeply inwardly convinced of a simplicity and an integrity of the universe, and that he is the one who can do it. No conceit about it. He can plant the garden. The garden is independent of him. He can plant it for someone else. He can go over it. He can go over in the other guy's yard and plant the seeds if he asks him to. He has identified the creativity with that man's garden. That is all. The difference there is between helping yourself and helping others. So don't feel that you have to take the full responsibility, because we are God, but we are all of God. Look, we are all on a table together, and each person would be able to give a different input into something that we might want to discuss today. It's me as God, but it's all of us as the sum of God in this room. And so I can't say I have all the ideas, because all of your brilliant minds have so many more ideas as well. All right? So we just have to release and remember that we only do the things and take responsibility for the things that we can. The rest, we release, we relax, we let that go. And that's part of affirmative treatment after declaring that I am. And declaring that this is what I want in my life, I give thanks and say, yay. Then I let that go. Letting it go is saying, I now did everything I can possibly do with the consciousness that I have, and now I release it to a greater creative power. Where it comes from? None of my business. I just have to trust that it's there. I just have to trust that whatever I put out there, that the power and the presence is working. And what comes in is also from my own consciousness. So I have to be alert. I have to be vigilant to what comes in. I have to be nurturing to what I have planted, so I could know what direction that the power and the presence wants me to be. And so, as a reminder, Ernest talked about self-esteem, which is page 152-4. So he wants us to remember that we are plenty good enough because God made you. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? All right? Woo! You are plenty good enough because God made you. What you have to ask yourself is not, am I good enough? Rather, is my thinking constructive enough? All right? Because we could be our best thinkers, but we could also allow our thinking to break us down. All right? Do I love enough? Do I give enough? Am I happy enough? Am I kind enough? These are the evaluations that are spiritual. Not if you are good enough. Of course, you are good enough. And if anybody ever tells you that you're not, remember this. He is but projecting his own unconscious sense of guilt onto you and trying to hang it in your ears. You know, that's how they set up. So don't let anybody tell you anything that you don't want to hold on to. Don't let anyone tell you anything about yourself, your self-esteem, your self-worth and your value. Because mm-hmm. just like I told Val today, how do I know what another person is thinking except I have it, all right? Mm-hmm. So when somebody projects something onto you, you can either say something as, you know, that's mm-hmm. not my idea or my thoughts or whatever, or say nothing and just flick it off, flick it away.
Thank you, for sharing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for sharing. Yes. Oh, thank you for sharing. And then you know that that thing stuck right there, you just flick it away mm-hmm. as quickly as it came. Mm-hmm. All right? Because there are people who they feel better when they project their not enoughness onto you because it makes them feel better as well. All right? So, according to him, he said Shakespeare said, "Methink the lady doth protest too loudly." So this is one of the things that Ernest Holmes, what he mentioned, that, you know, people say what they want to say and hoping that it's going to land on some good ears and that you're going to accept what they are saying, but do not feel obligated to accept anything from anyone. So you are good enough. Then if you're good enough, then you are spiritual enough. And this is where I came back to the spiritual. Because if we are spirit, if we are God, and God is all there is, and God is the expanse of this universe, we must be spiritual. Mm-hmm. All right? So don't take spiritual as holier than thou, carrying a big old Bible around, carrying or looking to saints and looking to saviors. We are our own spiritual being. We have to be. Because this is who we are. We are the embodiment of who God is. All right? So how more spiritual can you be than to believe that God is all there is and to love and adore God and talk to God and know you live in God and God lives in you? I don't think you have to worry about that. God is all there is. You can't change it. And I didn't make it. We can only accept it. It is simple. God is all there is. And so the one thing in closing I wanted to mention is the things you can change is the thoughts that come into us. Mm-hmm. The thoughts that says you're not good enough, or the belittling thoughts, or the fearful thoughts. Change those to more empowering thoughts and remembering that if God is all there is, then I am part of that. And if I'm part of that, I have some kind of power from that. You know, take as much as you want or as little as your consciousness would allow you to, but just know that you got it in you. The things you cannot change through spirituality. I don't care what you say. You can protest 100%. You cannot change your spirituality. You cannot change who you are, because I firmly believe, and my philosophy also believes, and Ernest Holmes believes, that God is all there is. So what are we fighting? We are fighting our own selves. We are going up against our own limitations. All right? And so you can doubt yourself. He gave us a chance to doubt, because he says faith comes by hearing. But don't stay in doubt for too long. You know? Like I tell patients sometimes, I say, get depressed. Get under the covers. Stay in bed maybe a day or two, but then don't stay for a long time, because the more you doubt yourself, the more you get into depression, is the deeper you're going to get. So doubt yourself, but then start looking and making sense. You know, part of Ernest Holmes and part of the science of mind is that we have to make, and you might be able to help me more, make a
declaration.
It's declaration, but we have to prove things for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be able to, by demonstrating, sometimes we have to go through the long hard way and prove that, hey, yeah, I must be God, I must have God qualities. So do whatever test you need to do to come to the point where you're saying that I am God and God is all there is. And that's where we leave off. I just wanted to read from There Are No Mistakes, and then we're going to close off for the morning. And that's 561. This is another meditation. Page 561. I am not bound by any mistake. Couldn't somebody want to read it, or you want me to read it? Okay. Let us now let go of everything and enter into the consciousness of that which we believe. The spirit within each one of us is God, and it is perfect. It is love, reason, life, truth, and beauty. It is limitless and perfect and complete and whole. It knows no lack and no limitation. There is nothing we have done, said, or thought which rises up against us, which has power over us, or which limits us. There is no memory of fear, no condemnation for previous mistakes. With the desire to free ourselves from the further indulgence of mistakes, the effect of the previous mistake is wiped out, just as light dissipates the darkness. The universe holds nothing against us. It can hold nothing against us, because it can know nothing unlike itself. Therefore, it only knows us as perfection. There has never been an occurrence for which we have had to suffer. Consequently, every apparent shortcoming which could be traced to some mental or spiritual infringement of the law is not only removed, but the effect is healed. That means there is no history to our case. All of its history is this minute wiped out in the knowledge that today the perfect law, the law of freedom, is the only law there is in our experience. So we now enter into that freedom with joy, free from every sense of sadness and burden. We know the infinite wholeness is in us and through us and as us, and is now around us, as we are conscious that we are renewed in this moment, instantly and perfectly after the image of perfection. So we are now guided into the knowledge of happiness, of certainty, of wholeness, and of freedom. And we know that there is subtle essence of spirit which emanates from all of us, healing everything it contacts. I am not bound by any mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it is.
So it is. Very nice. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Yay!
So we're going to do what?